on your mind when it comes to work, and then I want to hear from Dennis. How's he doing?
Yeah, Dennis is doing great. I think work is, you know, work is work. It's progressing for me. I'm excited about starting kind of over in here, and I was thinking about things to say to you right off the bat, because I know that we talked about it was kind of the way we do things. But I would say in this process, starting Supernova over, in a sense, really trying to get both of our businesses running about as effectively and smoothly as they can. And Dennis and I talked a little bit about this too. And you know, as far as investment philosophies, I don't think we're way far off of each other either, but, you know, a lot of things we do are very similar. And I think as we look out, whether it's, you know, however many years into the future, if we can support each other, in this, and our businesses kind of look similar, we have a better shot of, you know, maintaining clients in later years and making things seamless for them. So as much as Dennis wants to step away, he'll feel empowered to do that. So that's my goal in this particular run through on Supernova.
Great. Great. Dennis, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm proceeding with chapter one, trying to get that squared away. And I'm talking about the study material, not the book. The book has been read multiple times, and I believe it. But it's obvious to me, if you're going to do this or pursue it, it has to be a fee-based managed type business. And in the past, I've always been a stockbroker. And so I'm making transitions there as I can. Derek printed off my top 100. And I know in the study material for chapter one, it says identify the top 40. And something that caught me completely off guard was out of my top 40, 8 of them are commission transactional type clients. The other 32 were already fee-based clients. I didn't realize that. That was quite an eye-opener. So of the 8 that aren't managed, 3 of them I probably have a shot at. The other 5, it's just not going to work. So that's the kind of thing I've been focusing on. I know it says you should have 6 centers of influence. I've got 4 that I think I could lean on pretty hard. And so that's what I've been trying to do. I don't have a hard number for minimum assets. In the past, I've just been telling people 150, and that's mainly because Morgan Stanley had instigated a 100,000 being a minimum where they would pay us, and I wanted some breathing room. But I think that 150 needs to be raised quite a bit. The households, I'm looking at about 82 households as opposed to the 100. That's kind of where I am. And those 82 households are, you know, are a lot of accounts. Of course, some of them are incredibly inactive, great grandchildren, you know, that kind of thing and whatever, but that's kind of where I am. I don't have a clear idea about minimum assets. I was going to sort of run that by Derek too and try to get some input as to what to do there.
I can help along those lines.
Great.
It's really becomes a math game. So my suggestion would be to take your revenues and divide it by, your number of accounts, 82. And that should give you your average, which would be, you know, it's just a mathematical number. It doesn't mean anything, but what is my average? You can use the mean or the average. And that only makes sense in the sense that if you want to grow your practice, or even maintain it, you'd want to have everybody that came in be above your average. So that's just logical, right? If you bring in clients that are smaller than your average and you then you're shrinking your business. So then what we do is we take the top, in this case, 20%, that'd be 16 clients. We want to take the average of your top 16 clients and see what they have in assets and in production. And that becomes your target. And that's the mark. That's what you use to market yourself. So when you go into the market and you tell your centers of influence, this is what I want. So let's say, my guess, just without doing any math, would be to think at your level, your minimum should be about 500,000 average. And your, with $5,000 revenue minimum, and your target should probably be 750,000. And why don't you guys do the math if you can do it? Can you do it quickly for me, or?
Let me see. Since you can't see me, I can bounce around on my computer. Let's see.
Yep.
And Dennis, do you have a feel for that while he's talking?
I'm learning things about myself I didn't realize. So
okay, that's good.
I'm serious, and it all boils down to this. So I have an account with a lady. It's a managed account for a long time. I haven't spoke to this lady in 3 years, and the reason I know that, we had to do an R&D this year, and we were talking, and she said her husband died 3 years ago. Well, I didn't know he had passed away. So I haven't spoken to this lady in 3 years. Her account is $101,000, but it's a fee base.
Yep.
I have another gentleman who has $1.4 million with me. He calls me 3 or 4 times a week. We do all kind of minuscule things that I don't get paid for. And when I looked at this lady who I haven't spoke to in 3 years generates more income than a person who has $1.4 million, $1.5 million that I talk to 2 or 3 times, 4 times a week. So my assets versus revenue, it's out of whack.
Yep. And your time. Yeah. Your time allocation is out of whack. So, okay. So here's the plan. The plan, my suggestion would be to think of your clients on a 1% basis. All right. So that guy should be paying you. If he's got $1.5 million, he should be paying you, what, 15,000? Yeah, he should be paying you 15,000, right? And he's probably not paying you that much.
No, not even remotely close. And what I do get paid, there's no Morgan Stanley payout because the things he does always falls under our minimums.
See, so you've been a
zero income to me on this account.
So here's what we do. All right. It is not an eleemosynary institute, meaning you're not a charity. So if you want to give your time for your community, you do that on Saturdays and Sundays. Okay. Here you want to make money, and then you can give it all away if you want to. But the idea is that you don't let people take advantage of you. And that gentleman either is taking advantage of you, or you've never asked him to pay for what you're doing for him. So there's where you have that new conversation where we reintroduce ourselves and say, you know, this is the good news that we're excited about, is that business has been so good that we needed to, and we got so busy, we were worried about delivering a consistent client experience. So we hired a consultant. I'm working with, Derek Schubner, and we are, together, coming up with a plan. And here's the plan. Every client will get multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of that plan, and 2 of them in person, plus rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? You'll say, wow, that sounds great. How are you going to be able to do that? Well, because we'll be working with less than 80 clients. And he'll be, or 90 clients. He'll be saying, wow, am I one of them? And you say, well, at this time you're not, but you certainly can be, okay? And here's the way we're going to work. We're going to do a plan for every client. And in return for that planning process and the other work that we do in terms of investment, asset, liability, and risk management, we'll be charging a fee. That fee will generally be in the 1% range. At this time, you're not paying our minimum, and our minimum is whatever it is, ends up being, you know, $7,500. So we'd love for you to be a client. And he'll be, well, okay, explain to me this again. What do I get for this? Well, you're going to get a financial plan. We're going to update on a regular basis. We'll be calling you every month. We'll have 4 reviews of your plan, and twice a year I'll meet with you in person. We've developed a rapid response team so that we give you 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution, any and all problems. So that's what you get for that 1%. We think that's fair. And he goes, yeah, that seems pretty fair. Okay. That's what we'll do then. So that's basically the speech. You got to make it, you got to memorize it and get comfortable with it. But that's it. And you don't want to mess it up too much. You want to keep it pretty close to what I just said. You know, none of us are getting any younger. You know, when they say to you, well, what about, you know, objection. You say, you know, none of us are getting any younger. I really want to have my practice in really good shape so that when I do decide to step back, it's, you know, I'm very proud of what we've done over the years, and I want to leave it in great shape. So however you want to, you know, handle the objections is up to you, but, I think it's a great opportunity. Clearly you do too. I mean, if you took over your own book from somebody else and looked at it, you'd be going, wow, this is a gold mine. I can do very well here. And that's kind of what you're doing, is sort of looking at it with fresh eyes. So, and keep in mind that this is a good thing for the clients. I just was talking to a guy that, a woman had $6 million and hadn't heard from her financial advisor in a year. And, he just transferred the account that fast by giving this same speech. So you can be the guy that's bringing in these accounts where people aren't calling. And you don't want to have any clients that you don't call. I mean, that ruins your brand, because you can't be out there telling one thing and doing another. So you got to be doing it. So you have to find a home for those people that are too small, don't meet your minimums. They're wonderful people, but you don't want to charge them, you know, $5,000 or $7,500 on a $100,000 account. So, we liken it to a concierge practice versus the emergency room. And that's probably a pretty good analogy to say, look, you know, I've kind of, good news is business has grown and it's become a little more like an emergency room. And we really want to give a concierge experience to you and your family versus that emergency crazy room stuff. So anything, Dennis, anything gel there that I've mentioned?
Yeah. I mean, that sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
Yeah.
I don't have any issues with trying to pursue that at all.
And you know, this financial planning is not easy. You know, you guys are going to put in probably 24 hours into a financial plan if it's done right. Presented, you know, research presented, implemented. I mean, that adds a lot of, you know, your hourly income goes way down when you're putting in that much time. So you got to get paid.
Okay. I think I've got some stats here for you, Rob.
Okay.
All right. So this is the top 86, if I did it right. I just did it based on revenue, Dennis. So, yep. Just so you know, the average account size is $1.8 million. The average revenue across all of those is $5,500. Okay. And that's for 0.30, ROA. Okay, on all of those 86. Your top 16 average $3.8 million. They average $17,500 annual T12 gross for a 0.46% ROA.
Okay, so frankly, Dennis, you can do the math. What are you seeing there? What should be your minimum?
Based on that, I mean, it should be higher than the 500, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Probably 2 million, right? Am I reading it wrong?
Yeah, it should be about 20 grand. At 1%.
Wow.
Then the other should be, it should be a target of 40,000 and 4 million. You got a good book.
Yeah, you get a great book, a lot of assets, right?
Yeah, great book, great potential. You can go from, just think about that. You can go from average revenues of 17,000 for those top clients to 40. Wow. That'd be crazy. 40,000. You don't have to do that, right? You don't have to do that right away. But certainly 0.03 or 3/10 of 1% is not a fair amount either. I mean, it's great for the client. They're doing terrifically. They're getting the bargain of the year. But you haven't been doing the financial planning and the 1242 and the rest of it. So what you have to say is, okay, I'm going to have to do some more. I'm going to do some real work here. But it's not going to make any difference for the person with 100 grand, okay? Or even the person with 500 grand. They get a $500,000 rollover. That ain't going to make a lot of difference if I do a financial plan. But for the person with 4 million and I do all that, now we're talking. I can make a difference. And it isn't just estate planning, right? It's legacy planning. Knowing exactly what's going to happen to that money when they're not here is a really important part of what we do. And how to enjoy that money while they're here in terms of, you know, using the money to pass on their values to their children and helping, you know, if they want to help their children. If they don't, then spend it on themselves and enjoy themselves. But, you know, the fact that there's so much planning to do here gives you a tremendous opportunity in a couple of years of real satisfactory work, and you'll enjoy your job like five times as much.
Eric and I talked about that this morning. That's, I already see a change there.
Yeah. Well, your relationships change. And yeah. Let's face it, at this point, you don't need to bring in small accounts, right? I mean, what's the point? You're just doing more work. You don't want to bring in any small accounts. So you could almost say your practice is closed to anybody but somebody with, you know, 4 million, and you just want to just bring them in. Otherwise, no. Just work on doing financial planning and getting paid for what you're doing already.
Hey, Rob, I want to go back and just revisit, if I can, those numbers, like when you were talking about average clients, because I may have been looking at it wrong too. But so his top 16, that's about $4 million in assets. The whole 86 that he's identified, that's average of $1.8 million. So his would, so he wouldn't even, I mean, it'd be tough to turn down a $2 million account that would pay, you know, but with the number he's looking for, is it 4 million or is it 2 million and then try to back out the other clients, the kind of the lowest one on the rung?
If you were 30 years old, I'd say, you know, you can wrestle with the little accounts, but I don't think at this stage you want to bother. I'd make it an absolute $2 million, absolute minimum, nothing less. And I'd make a $4 million target. So when you talk to people,
okay,
that's your target. And if somebody comes in with three, you accept it. Somebody comes in with 2.1, you accept it. Somebody comes in with two, you accept it. But somebody comes in with 1.5 and you say, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's where you leverage Kathleen, you know.
Right. You can do whatever you want. You can reassign it to somebody else. What I always say is it's not no. It's just no, not me. Right?
Yeah.
So when I get busy, you know, and I just, my calendar gets full. I say, no, not me, but I can certainly have one of my partners, help you. And that's fine too, but you don't want to, I wouldn't suggest you get any busier with numbers than the ones you have. 86 or 82 is, Derek will tell you, this is hard work at 100. You don't want to work that hard.
It is. And once you start doing the planning, I think almost right away, I came back to Rob and was like, look, I'm doing more, I'm doing all this other work now that I wasn't doing previously, you know, but it was all good. It's definitely brought me closer to the clients and business certainly went up, dramatically. So it works.
And it's fun.
Kind of freeing too. It's kind of liberating. Like when you think of that, like, okay, now I'm free to not accept an account less than $2 million.
Right.
You know, who's paying me, you know?
Right. And not just 2 million, it's 2 million at 1%. It's 20 grand. Right. So that's your, you've got a concierge practice with the $20,000 minimum. That's a beautiful thing. You know, where you're really trying to get, clients with 4 or 5 million. So when you go out prospecting, your goal is 4 or 5 million and you're looking for people that can pay you 40 grand or 50,000. And you bring one of those in, which there are plenty, by the way. You get rid of a bunch of the little guys. So, and your business isn't a mess. I mean, you've got a pretty skinny business already. So that's not like you got to dump. But I wouldn't keep anybody under, I mean, I'd probably knock off anybody under a million now. And just, you know, love you. Reassign.
Probably makes you squirm a little bit, doesn't it, huh?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Well, that's good though. See, then you go, whoa, I better have this conversation and get these people to pay the bills. You know?
There you go. Yeah. I'm with you.
But here's the truth that I've been doing this since 1994 and I've never had anybody that did it right that didn't make more money. I've never ever had anybody come back and say, Rob, I'm making less money now I've done Supernova. Never. Okay. So you don't need to worry about that. And your life will be a lot simpler. It won't be easier in the sense of you'll be busy, but it won't be, you'll get rid of all the guilt of saying, you know, I haven't called that person in 3 years. And she knows 300 people. And what does she say about me? Right? What's my brand in the community? People say, well, I can't act like I'm all haughty totty, you know? And yeah, well, what does that person say about you? You haven't called in 3 years. What's that do for your brand? So that's the more, to me, that's the more important thing. We don't want anybody out there that isn't getting a great client experience. In order to get that, it takes time and effort on your part and money, and they have to pay for it. So it's that same concept of the concierge doctor. You know, he charges 10 grand. You go to him and say, I want to hire you for five. You know what he'll say? Sorry, 10 grand. Come back when you have it. It doesn't sound like you're, I mean, look, all these things are big changes, but it doesn't sound like, you know, this is, you know, so upsetting to you that you're going to lose sleep over it. It sounds to me like you're ready. Maybe it's shocking in terms of the numbers, but the numbers are just math. That's all. That's just what you're doing now. And frankly, you're working for free. Now, I'll tell you a quick story. I probably told you this, but I didn't tell you. Stop me if I told you. But my brother was doing the same thing. He was doing like 750,000 and had 300 million and then just, you know, 3 years before, 2 years before he retired, he decided to join a team and transition his practice to fee-based services. And then he went to like $2 million and he called me and said, why didn't you get me to do this earlier? I said, because you wouldn't listen. He goes, this is working great and everybody's agreeing to it. And, you know, we're doing financial planning and we're finding more money and the clients are really happy and they're transitioning. They're sending in referrals. And I said, yeah, that's what I told you. But did he listen? No. He used to hand out my book, but he never did it himself. So this is your chance to not go as long as my brother went. And look, you don't have to charge 1%. You can charge 75 basis points, but you shouldn't be charging 0.30, you know?
Yeah, that's the average. So.
Yeah, 30 basis points. That's crazy. So anyway, charge what you think you're worth. That's the idea, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Questions, Dennis?
No, I just think I have to work the plan. I think the plan is there. The numbers are there, and it's just up to me to do something about it. And I think that's where I am.
Well, one of the things
he's gotten really excited.
Go ahead.
No, I can say he's gotten really excited, Rob, about some of this fee-based business, you know, and this dividend model that really gravitates towards what he would do if he had discretion on the account. And that's what I've liked about it too. So I've tried to find somebody who has the same philosophy, you know, to help manage the money. And so it's kind of going from there and converting, I guess, the conversation to the planning piece also, which he started to do with Kathleen. So we've got to try to incorporate that with all of our clients. Getting that feedback, getting that planning piece in place. And then we have started talking about trying to get our investment philosophies aligned as well, you know, because we're very similar already. It's if we can use the same types of managers, platforms, that kind of thing, it'll make things so much easier for both of us in the future.
Well, this is all right. So Dennis, we have three swimmers swimming down a swimming pool. One of them is segmentation. One of them is organization and the other one is acquisition. So even though we talk about the first 3 months, see, it's a 12-week program. The first, 4 months are on segmentation. We also begin organization and acquisition. All right. So your orientation is not going to be as much on acquisition unless you tell me, yes, I want to grow. The orientation is going to be on segmenting, getting skinny. And even though there's those little accounts don't seem to take much time, they take somebody's time. And they're in the back of your head nagging you and saying, you know, why didn't you call that person? So we're going to get rid of the guilt and, skinny down the book. And if somebody's not paying you and they're calling all the time and taking up your time, we're going to fire them too. Okay. So we don't want people that won't pay us and aren't really good clients or aren't nice. So we get rid of the jerks and we get rid of the time wasters and we get rid of the small accounts that shouldn't be paying us. And then we organize ourselves so that we have folders for every client. We have our schedule set. We have an agenda and then we have an executive summary and that will come. That will, you'll get that. That will come. Just get into the rhythm of it. First, start scheduling 10 clients. You know, you want to have the conversation with 10 and then build the folders for them. Give them a folder. You keep a folder. And then that gets you the structure. You know, then you start scheduling them and you put them right on the scheduler. Cindy will give you a class on your, who are you using for support?
We're using Karen. I think she's going to be open to, we've had some talks about it lately. We're going to have to go back to Karen and see if we can get some support on scheduling. We could also talk to, I talked to Lori this morning, Dennis, as well, and she may give us some support. Lori is another one of our assistants who has, extra time and capacity.
Great. Terrific. And so if one or both need to sit with Cindy and go through and understand how to use the scheduler, how to, you know, what goes in the folders, how to build the folders. And then just start knocking them out. And it should take you about 8 weeks and you should be pretty well organized with 80 clients and ready to go. So it's work, but it'll be done. You know, do 10 a week and have the conversations, get them set up, get the folders, get them out to them. If you can meet with them, that's great, but you don't need to. You can do this over the phone and you're off and running. But at the same time, you want to be convincing them that you've got a new investment program that's going to eliminate conflicts of interest and, streamlined, puts you both on the same side of the table and pays for the consulting fees and other fees that we have associated with the work we do. So that's good, but that conversation needs to happen at the same simultaneously.
And Dennis, I can go through the folders. I can show you what I've set up. And Angie can help us too with ordering folders and things like that. I'll just show you. It helps a lot with organization, and especially the follow-up from month to month in the conversations.
Yeah. And then in terms of acquisition, we just want to identify, you know, what brought us to the party. So we do a little forensic when we look at the book. So we look at those 40 or 50 or 80 clients, depending on how much you want to really want to spend time and figure out where the money came from. You know, did we inherit the money in terms of, you know, reassignments, or is it prospecting, cold calling, or was it because we worked for a company and, or we have a particular niche, or we have a center of influence, a CPA attorney, or somebody that's referring us business? Where did the business come from? That's very helpful. I spent some time with a guy today. He's very, very good at this, Derek. You should pay attention to this because it's so simple. I said to him, okay. And I've been talking all along, and so I kind of got an idea of what kind of a guy he is. I said, you know, what we want to do is more of what you're good at. You know, I don't want you, and then we discussed doing seminars and things. And I said, no, if I ever do another one, I'll kill myself. I said, we don't want to do things you don't want to do. So tell me where your business comes from now. Well, this business comes from one center of influence who he's got a great relationship with, and then a hunting lodge that he has that he takes people to. And then it turns out he also has a fishing lodge on the Snake River. And I said, okay, I said, can you do more of that? He said, yeah. I said, good. I said, I want you to do as much as you can. He said, well, I'm going to join another hunting lodge. It costs $45,000, but I think it's worth it because I'm going to meet an awful lot of really wealthy people. I said, good. That's beautiful. That's you. I told him that I was with a guy that was a member of Colusa Pines, which is one of the top golf courses down here in Florida. And I played golf with him. And it was interesting because I was with him and he had two clients with him, and I just watched him work all day on him. And it was a thing of beauty. He was good at it. And, you could see that they were having the time of their life playing this fabulous golf course and, you know, just deepening those relationships and making them work. So whatever it is that you do that works, whether it's, you know, involved in your church or your university or your charities in the community or whatever it is, we want to do more of that. And then if you want to try something else, we've got plenty of other strategies for growing. And Derek can be a big help on those too, because he's done a wonderful job with that relationship building. So it's, you know, a lot of what we do is just raise your consciousness. You know, we know what to do half the time. It's just getting structured so that we can do it and will do it. And frankly, don't have a way of getting out of not doing it. The more we can schedule this and hold ourselves accountable to it, the less we'll screw up and the less we'll not do it. It's like meeting, you know, you pay a personal trainer to meet at 6 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And guess what? You work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday, even though you may not even need the personal trainer, just that accountability is so valuable. So the 12-4-2 gives you accountability, and you may not, you know, end up adhering to every single one of them because the clients are busy or you're on vacation or something happens, but you're going to be close. You know, you're going to be 11 or 10 or 9, and that's a lot better than when you plan 4 contacts, they cancel one, now you got 3, and maybe you cancel another one, now you got 2. So you're seeing them every 6 months. That's no good. So that's the reality.
I agree.
Derek, am I right on that, right?
Yeah, and I think absolutely. That the really amazing thing is people start to expect it, and they kind of drive the boat. I have clients that will come back and say, hey, I just want to make sure we're still meeting on this particular day, right? And you're like, yes, we are. And, you know, they kind of jump the gun. Okay, I need to talk to you about something. I can wait till then, you know, to do it. And so it's been great. It really has been great. And I have not taken full advantage of everything that's been put in for, you know, in front of me. So I'm excited about even restarting for me, because I'm already along the path. Right, yeah. So to speak.
So, Derek, one of the things I want you to work on is the agenda and the executive summary. And for the agenda for both, you know, remember roles and responsibilities, right? So the 24-month calendar is one thing that you put on the agenda. But the other is the enthusiastically endorsed list. So you might as well start by putting on there CPAs, right? So this month we're going to, on the agenda is your CPA. So you want to talk about their CPA. What's the relationship? Is it good? Is it great? Or is it, you know, not so hot and they need a new one? And then you just go through every single client and talk to them about that. And then the next month is your attorney, right? Do you have an attorney? Do you have estate planning attorney? Nope, don't have an estate planning attorney. Okay. When we get to that, we'll be happy to introduce you to several. So that's something that I really want you to do, particularly Derek, because it's a great way of working your way through your network of professionals in your community and making sure that every person is up to date and you know exactly the status of where they are with all their personal advisors. And I don't know if you did that or not, or I know you were great at building those personal relationships. I just don't know if you've got it documented.
No, I don't have it documented. I mean, I've got in their folders for the ones that I've asked, sure. And
There's a lot of room. Good. Let's just become religious about it, okay? Every month we'll ask for a new information about one of the potential advisors. So CPA, attorney, realtor, you know, the things that are important to people. Not always urgently, but when they need them, they want them, right? And you can be referring those people all day long. And remember, our goal is to refer, not to get referrals. We want them. We love referrals, but our goal is to give. Give first. So if we're not giving, we're not prospecting. Is that enough?
Yeah, man, yeah, that's perfect. I was going to say the follow up on that is, you know, because we have been doing that, Johnny and I, you know, we have been getting, we get a steady, say steady. I mean, it's not like an over an abundance, but it is steady. We get a steady of referrals from the estate attorney that we mainly send people to that seem to gravitate towards. He's now referring back to us and also the CPA and one of the realtors. We are starting to see, you know, we have been seeing for the last, you know, 6 to 9 months, that coming back in, because we have predominantly been referring to them.
That's a great endorsement. Let's thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It works. The more consciously we do these things, the more effective we are. We become unconsciously competent. We're doing it, but we don't know we're doing it. So we don't do it as often as we should. We don't repeat it. And then guys will say, you know, I'll say, where did you build your business? Well, through XYZ. And they'll say, I say, are you doing that? And they said, no, I stopped doing it. And I said, why? Because it worked, right? And they said, yeah. They'd be like, you know, I'm an idiot. Well, no, you're not. You're a human being. And human beings are pleasure seekers, and we don't want to do any more than we have to do. So we get efficient and effective by not doing the things that are important.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't it? I mean, we're ridiculous, yeah. But we're yeah. All we have.
That's the truth. All right, great. Thank you, Rob. Dennis, okay. Anything else?
No, that's good. That's plenty. That's a boatload.
Okay.
So have fun.
All right.
I'm
perfect.
On board.
All right. Thanks. Dennis,
could you email me those numbers on my book we were talking about? I was trying to take notes as you were saying those things, and I was writing other things, and I didn't get the details. If you could email
it. Yep. I'll send it to you in just a second, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Great.
Rob, I certainly enjoyed it. Appreciate your time.
Hey, Dennis, great being with you, and look forward to having you have a really fun time with this and enjoying it. It's, you know, we always say getting uncomfortable, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And when you're living a little bit on the edge, you're really living. So we're going to be living a little bit more on the edge.
Be safe. Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. Thanks, Rob. Take care of yourself.